Thanks for tuning in for the Book Club at 91.7 here on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. It was back on July 30th in 1935 that a young publishing executive started a new publishing company with this great idea of offering affordable, quality paperback books through outlets like railway stations and news agents as well as bookshops. From that momentous day until today, Penguin Books has been publishing oh so many great reads for readers. And as Penguin Books celebrates 80 years, I'm joined here on the Book Club at 91.7 by the Vice President, Editor-in-Chief, and Associate Publisher, Patrick Nolan, to talk about 80 years of Penguin Books. Patrick, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me. I get a little chill when you tell our history. It's great. It's great to be talking to you.
I have to say, it gives me quite a chill to look at your history, to see a publishing house like this still in existence 8 decades later, and to learn the story of Alan Lane. Introduce us to that young publishing executive who started everything back in 1935.
Yeah, I mean, Alan, I think, was sort of your classic traditional publisher. He was working at the Bodley Head in London. They were publishing great books and sort of for, as you mentioned, that kind of narrow bookstore market. And books were hardcovers. They were expensive. There was kind of an elite market for the books. And one day he was out having lunch at Agatha Christie's house, and he was heading back to London and wanted a book to read, and he looked around and saw newspapers and saw these kind of trashy Victorian reprints that were available, kind of pulp novels, and there was nothing good to read, and he was really frustrated, and that sparked the idea of Penguin Books, where he was going to publish great books at an affordable price that anyone could buy theoretically anywhere. And it's kind of an amazing thing, because 80 years later, that's sort of what we do every day, and we think about him quite a bit. We publish almost exclusively at Penguin Books in paperback or digital, and we're always looking for the widest possible market for our books. We're always trying to find the readers, and at the core too, we're looking for great books to bring to people who love books. So it's an incredible sort of simple idea. It was a genius idea, and I think most of the publishing industry has learned from it and followed it, and we're living it every day.
And Alan wanted, I've saw this more than once in telling the story, he wanted good books to be as accessible and as easy to procure as a pack of cigarettes. Is that true?
Yeah, and a little bit cheaper from what I understand. I think the books were 6 pence, and that was just a little shy of what a pack of cigarettes cost at the time, and of course a lot healthier.
Well, you mentioned the Victoria pulp novels at that time, but what was the paperback, or what was the status of paperback books back in 1935 beyond those pulp novels?
You know, they're pretty much non-existent from what I understand. I'm not in any way a publishing historian, but from what I understand, most books did not have the thing that we have today, that life cycle where often they're published in hardcover and 9 months to a year later they come out in paperback, and that just wasn't happening. And here at Penguin today, of course, we do that. We reprint books with our partners Viking Books and Penguin Press, who publish them in hardcover, and then we do reprints about a year later, but we also do a lot of originals. But for Alan Lane, he went out, and his first 10 books, they included Hemingway and Agatha Christie. How could he not include her? And a bunch of books that were, you know, maybe today not as well known, but were considered, you know, important and interesting books for the day. So in a way, he pioneered something that now we just take for granted. It's almost like the digital change, you know, in a way. He envisioned sort of a new way to bring books to readers.
And I love that paperback revolution.
It is. Yeah.
You know, I live it every day, Patrick, every day.
But, you and me both.
So he started out with just 10 titles. When did he begin to expand?
I think, you know, almost immediately. The first year there were 10 titles, but the list grew very fast, and a few years after that original list, he had a bunch of current titles in print, and also started the Penguin Classics list about 5 years later. And so the list just kept growing and growing. It came to the United States a while, quite a bit later, but but an office in New York was opened up. And, you know, today there are offices all over the world. We're part of a much bigger company, Penguin Random House, which is now the largest trade book publisher in the world. And we have at Penguin Books, our list that Alan founded, those original 10 books have grown into 5,000 books that are in print today. And we publish about 250 new titles a year.
Patrick Nolan is the Vice President, Editor-in-Chief, and Associate Publisher of Penguin Books. Penguin Books is celebrating its 80th anniversary in 2015, 80 extraordinary years. You can learn more and find a link to some of that history about Penguin Books at our website, WVXU.org. And I wanted to share some of Alan's story first, but I wanted to ask where the penguin came from, because I love the penguin on the spine of my books.
Oh, I know, me too. And I have these memories of being in my college dorm room and lining up all the penguin classics and seeing all the birds on the shelf. It's kind of an extraordinary story because it was such a simple story. His assistant suggested Penguin as the name for the company and the logo, and he went with it. And, you know, I think we all like to imagine all these different exotic animals possibly auditioning in Alan's office for the logo and for the name of the company, but it was that kind of simple thing. There was no marketing studies or panels or anything like that. It was just this one idea, and he ran with it.
And when did Alan
and
know?
Kept them on the books ever since. So,
yeah. And when did Alan know he had such a success?
Oh, he knew very quickly. I mean, a million copies of sales in 1 year in 1935 in the UK book market was a massive success. He knew that he had had great business success and really changed the way publishing was going to work going forward.
You mentioned Penguin Classics, a great line of Penguin, and I know I have many dated Penguin Classics and many new Penguin Classics as well, but I was curious as to how the Penguin Classics series got started.
The series started in 1946, and it started with, in a way, an appropriate way, with the Iliad and the Odyssey, and the translations by E.V. Rue are still in print. They might be one of those old classics you're referencing in your collection.
I imagine
they,
so.
The classics list is alive and well. We are constantly adding to it. I'm really proud that over the last few years, our editorial director, Elder Roeder, has been really broadening what we're publishing to include the entire world, to include all classic literature, not just Western European and American writers. So, for example, next year we're going to publish the first ever Korean classic on our list, and we've added works from the Philippines and China and the Middle East and Tibet and a lot of places, South America, all in the last few years. So it's a vibrant list that is, it's probably the largest classics list. I feel like we always have some of the absolute best scholars working on it. And so they're very authoritative. And in a way, if you're looking for a book, most likely it's going to be a Penguin Classic. There's about 1,300 titles on our list right now.
Well, we were talking before we began the interview, Patrick, and I mentioned I was not only surprised by all the Penguin books I had on my bookshelves, but I was also surprised about the books I didn't realize were from Penguin Books. I just recently here on the book club at 91.7 had spoke with Celeste Ng, Deborah Harkness, of course, Garrison Keillor, Sue Monk-Kidd. It's amazing some of these writers. What do they find most attractive about Penguin Books?
Well, I think, you know, that founding principle that Alan Lane began with of making works, great works, accessible to the most possible readers is something that every writer dreams of. So when we're talking to a prospective writer now, in a way we make that same pitch, that if they're going to be published in hardcover first, that's fantastic, and it's an important part of the publishing process. But when they come to Penguin, we're going to do everything we can to build, expand, and just make bigger and find new markets, maybe a wider reach in terms of channels, you know, maybe a book that only, like Celeste Ng's novel in hardcover sold extremely well and was quite successful and made lots of top 10 lists. It's an amazing book, Everything I Never Told You. But it didn't have, say, like the widest distribution outside of the traditional book-selling market. And now in paperback, it's finding that market. Readers groups are reading it now, and there's just so many ways to build on that hardcover success and also to keep that book alive forever. That's also a really important thing for us here at Penguin. It's not about just the first few weeks after the publication, after maybe the book tour. We're working on the books all the way through. You know, we're constantly thinking about them and repackaging when necessary, reminding our booksellers and customers about them. Anytime there's a new book out, all these different ways, but we're always trying to make that book new to the person who hasn't read it yet.
Talking about 80 extraordinary years of Penguin Books here on the Book Club at 91.7. I'm speaking with Patrick Nolan. He's the Vice President, Editor-in-Chief, and Associate Publisher of Penguin Books. And I wanted to ask, Patrick, I know there are many different ways that that Penguin Books is celebrating its 80 years, and I wanted to give you a moment to share what readers can look forward to as the 80 years is celebrated.
Yeah, so we're doing a lot. We have a couple of our most important writers celebrating their centennials this year. So Saul Bellow this summer would be 100 years old, and we have a beautiful new deluxe edition of Herzog that we've just published, and we've inducted Ravelstein into the Penguin Classics list for the first time as well. Arthur Miller is celebrating his centennial in October, and we have undertaken a massive publishing exercise where we're collecting all of his plays and putting it into one volume, joining Death of a Salesman and Crucible, but all of his plays in one beautiful edition, including a deluxe hardcover slipcased edition, which you'll definitely want to put on your shelf. And we'll have some events in New York and around the country celebrating his plays with dramatic readings and scene reenactments. We have our Penguin Truck, which is a moving bookstore that travels around the country that's out visiting booksellers and communities around the country. When I last checked, it was in Wyoming, spreading the word of our anniversary. And we're publishing this really cool collection celebrating the classics list, 80 books all in one box set, small little paperbacks, all little black classics, we're calling them. Beautifully designed, simple, and really pulling some of the most interesting, well-known and also total discoveries, I think, for most readers from our classics list, which we'll have out in the fall. In a way, we're just kind of doing what we do every day. We aren't having the big party we had in the 75th anniversary at the New York Public Library with all our writers gathered in one room. We just figured the 80th anniversary, we should roll up our sleeves and keep focusing on our authors and our books.
Well, out of 80 years of Penguin Books, what do you think your publishing house is most proud of? I mean, you have authors who are Nobel laureates and Pulitzer Prize winners, Man Booker winners, best-selling authors, National Book Award winners. It's hard to pick anything out, Patrick, but what do you feel is, what provides you with the most satisfaction about the 80 years of Penguin Books?
I mean, a lot of it has to do with that. I mean, all those prizes are so important and impressive. And, you know, John Steinbeck won the Nobel Prize. Coetzee won the Nobel Prize. Moy Yan, just a couple years ago, won the Nobel Prize. So for me, it's that ongoing run of great literature that it doesn't stop. And we still sell the books that won the prizes 40, 50, 60 years ago. And we're still publishing new authors like Phil Cly. Redeployment won the National Book Award last year, and I'm proud that he's on the Penguin list. So it really is about bringing these new great writers, and those are just the ones who are winning the prizes I'm mentioning, but there are so many new authors like Celeste Ng that we're going to see so much from her as the years go forward. So introducing the new writers is, I think, the most exciting thing for us. And really making sure that no one forgets about all the great ones that came before.
Well, thank you for all the great reads I've enjoyed from Penguin Books, Patrick. And congratulations on 80 years.
Thank you. It's been really great talking to you. Thank you for having me.
Patrick Nolan, Vice President, Editor-in-Chief, and Associate Publisher of Penguin Books, celebrating 80 years in business in 2015. You can learn more about the history of this great publishing house by visiting our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.
It's that one story you just can't get enough of. That book that you keep checking out at the library or leave on your nightstand to read over and over. Share that story with the Book Club at 91.7. What book have you read over and over? Call the Book Club at 91.7 hotline 352-9188 and leave a voicemail with your answer. You may hear your answer on the air. What book have you read over and over? Call 513-352-9188 and share your story. Here are answers from some of your friends and neighbors.
I'm Mary Sanker. I'm the manager of the Marymount Branch Library. I generally turn to Pride and Prejudice. Every time I read it, I find some new character to enjoy more of the social satire that Austin so excels at.
Hi, I'm Deborah Crombie, and I am from McKinney, Texas. The Lord of the Rings. I don't think I can count how many times. And I actually just reread The Hobbit, the 75th anniversary edition this last year, which I had not reread in probably 30 years. And it was just huge fun. But I reread Lord of the Rings probably at least every 10 years.
My name is Christopher Eanes, and I'm from Over the Rhine in downtown Cincinnati. There's a great book called The Student Conductor by Robert Ford about a young man training as an orchestra conductor in Germany against the backdrop of the fall of the Berlin Wall. I love this book because it's the only one I've read that accurately captures what it's like to train as a conductor and all of the larger-than-life personalities and egos that exist in that world.
Been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Technical director for today's show is Rick Andres. Producer is Kevin Reynolds. Web guru is Jim Nolan. The announcer is Robin Carey Allgaier. And I'm Mark Purcell. Next Saturday on the Book Club at 91.7, books about dudes. You'll hear about Blood Aces, the story of Benny Binion in the World Series of Poker, Becoming Steve Jobs by Rick Tetzele, and Hal McCoy talks about his memoir, The Real McCoy, all next Saturday morning. In the meantime, stay tuned for Weekend Edition, next on 91.7 WVXU.